Today's first scripture reading will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 9 through 12. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. Today's second scripture reading will come from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." Thanks be to God.
Let's give thanks to God for the reading of the word. Please be seated. So I spent January sharing a little bit about our history in the Wesleyan movement and the United Methodist Church. I talked about how our history is a way of reminding us of who we want to be, while also keeping us vigilant that we do not wander far from our origins. Now I want to transition from thinking about our history to thinking about some of our core beliefs, because this whole year we are going to be getting back to our roots as a church. And to do that, we need to remember some of the core beliefs that this movement was founded upon. And if there is one current that runs through our Wesleyan understanding of theology and faith, it is the idea of how God's grace enters our lives. That God's grace is free, unearned love that God has poured into our lives that reconciles us, transforms us, and empowers us by the Holy Spirit. We are a people formed and transformed by grace. In our Wesleyan understanding of grace, there are three different lenses that we look at. Or maybe a better way of saying that is that we recognize that as God's grace lives and moves within our lives, it changes us. That we don't experience grace the same way throughout our lives, because grace continues to change how we enter the world and how we see God. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to explore the three primary lenses of grace. We call them prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. And this morning, I just want to focus on that first one. I want to focus on prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is simply put the way God loves us before we know how to respond to that love. I have spent a lot of time in Methodist churches, like a disturbing amount of time in Methodist churches. I grew up in a Methodist church. I went to a Methodist seminary. I have spent the last 12 years preaching in Methodist churches. And even when I'm not working in the church, I still keep finding myself going to Methodist churches, even in the hard times of our denomination, because we have gone through some hard times lately. Even in times when our Methodist church disappointed me, frustrated me, ticked me off, I kept going to Methodist churches. And that's because it was in the Methodist church where I first started learning about prevenient grace. Prevenient grace changed my relationship with God. And even in the hardest days of the church, Methodism was still a church that said, prevenient grace is important. You see, prevenient grace teaches us that God does not choose who God loves. God does not choose to love only the Christian who memorizes scripture. And I'm grateful for that because my memory is poor. I can't remember scripture anymore. I have to read it. Prevenient grace teaches us that God does not choose to love only the one who lives an entirely selfless life. It teaches us that God does not choose to love only those who are living in traditional nuclear families with a mom and a dad and 2.5 kids. It teaches us that God does not choose to love only those who are capable of reciprocating that love. Rather, prevenient grace teaches us that God chooses to love everyone. That God pours out free love on all people just because that is God's nature. Prevenient grace teaches us that God does not wait for us to be perfect before God loves us. Hear that again. God does not wait for us to be perfect before God loves us. God doesn't wait for us to have our act together. God doesn't wait for us to have life or work or ministry all figured out before working deep love within our souls. God begins with our uncertainties. God begins with our questions and our doubts and our confusions. God sees the mess that our lives are in and begins working grace upon grace within us. God begins working love within us. Paul, the Apostle Paul, uses that beautiful turn of phrase. This is one of, I think, the most beautiful phrases Paul uses in Scripture. He writes, "Now we see a reflection in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know partially, but then I will know completely in the same way I have been completely known." So even Paul, who had been living and breathing and building the emerging church for 20-something years of his life, writes those words realizing that he is still a work in progress. And yet being a work in progress does not diminish what God is up to in his life. Last Sunday, we canceled services here. I don't like to do that, but I know that, you know, parking can be an issue when there's a foot of snow out on the side of the road. I know that's a difficulty for some people. I know people need to be safe at home, so we canceled services here. But Angela reached out to me in the morning asking, "Can we open the church to those who are on the streets, to those who don't have a warm place to go wait out this storm?" And I said, "Of course we can. Of course we can open our doors to these people." I did not know what that would turn into. But for the past week, people have used this space to stay warm, to stay safe, to stay fed, to stay loved. People have used this space to understand what a beloved community looks like. I shared a letter on Tuesday sharing that whenever we try something new, whenever we try something hard, we're going to have moments of confusion. We're going to have struggles. We're going to have those times when we don't know what is going on or what is happening next. But just because there are hardships ahead of us does not mean that we have an excuse not to do something. So just as God does not wait for us to be perfect, I think God calls on us not to wait until we have everything all figured out to begin loving one another. So just as God has loved us before we've got our lives figured out, I think God invites us to love one another before they've got their lives figured out. If there is something that is at a cornerstone of what it means to be a United Methodist, it is that we are a people who are willing to let love lead us. Not as an afterthought, not after years of careful planning and financial management, not because it will benefit us in the long run, but we let love lead us because that is how God has taught us to be. Prevenient grace teaches us that love precedes perfection. Perhaps another thought that we can consider as well is that love takes time to work, and that we should not be discouraged when we have to be in this for the long haul. A passage from Mark this morning that Charles read a moment ago contains some of the odder things that Jesus does in ministry. Mark does that a lot. Sometimes we get more familiar with Jesus in Matthew, Luke, and John, Gospels that have higher Christologies of Jesus. Mark has a Jesus who appears much more human than we are sometimes comfortable with. You see, we are used to a Jesus that can heal with a single touch or a word or even just by passing by. Yet in Mark, we have a Jesus who's maybe seeming more grounded. Jesus touches the blind man, and the blind man is showing us that sometimes it takes an effort. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes Jesus spitting into the soil and putting saliva onto a person's eyes, miraculous healing saliva. Sometimes it doesn't go quickly. Sometimes healing doesn't happen instantly. Sometimes change is slow. Mark shows us a Jesus who is more human than we are comfortable with, a Jesus who is misunderstood more often than the other Gospels portray Jesus, a Jesus who is filled with more emotion than we might be comfortable hearing from our Lord and Savior. But maybe Mark shows us a Jesus that is more comfortable with good change being a process rather than something we accomplish all at once. And that just because something takes time does not mean it's not worthwhile. And maybe this reveals something about God's heart for us as well. Maybe it reveals that just because we are imperfect, just because we are broken, just because we are not always sure what it is that comes next, does not mean we are not inherently worthy of God's love for us. And if God is not discouraged by our slow starts, what right do we have to be discouraged when we face setbacks and loss? Do we have the right to pull back our love when things don't work out perfectly the first time, or when ministry is hard, or when things are unexpected, or when we face obstacles we didn't plan on? Do we have the right to pull back our love? I don't think we do. Because God does not pull back God's love for us just because we are not perfect yet. Prevenient grace teaches us. Prevenient grace teaches us about God's love for us and about how we are to love our neighbors. And I think prevenient grace teaches us that love is not our goal. We don't set a goal of loving as if it is something that we can reach and accomplish and hang our hats on and say, good job, we loved right. Prevenient grace teaches us that love is not a goal, it is a process, and it is a way of living. That just as God has loved us, just as we are called to love one another, it'll take time. It'll be a lifetime of learning what it means to be loved and to love. And what a blessing that is, that this is how we are called to live. Friends, will you be in prayer with me? Holy One, God of glory and grace, God of love that doesn't wait, stir that love into our hearts today. Stir it deep within our bones, that your love may be felt within us in the good moments and the bad moments and the easy moments and the hard moments, and that your love may overflow from us and touch our neighbors who are ready to feel your love stirred into their lives too. Lord, I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.